For WNCW, I'm Stina Sieg. When novelist Barbara Kingsolver sits down to write, she doesn't start with the characters. She begins with the story that she wants to tell and the questions that she wants to ask, often about social and environmental justice. With her newest book, Flight Behavior, she's on to climate change, and its release just happens to coincide with the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy. When we talked a couple weeks ago, the East Coast was still reeling from that disaster, and it was a topic of conversation at all the stops along her book tour. That conversation will surely continue at UNCA's Lipinski Auditorium, where she will appear at 7 p.m. November 28th. The questions that surround climate change are what she calls the point of origin of this latest story.
How is it that a lot of people can look at the same set of facts and come away believing very different things? And specifically, why are we behaving this way about climate change? I'm seeing it right now as I read the news reports and sort of the analysis around Megastorm Sandy, a storm the likes of which we have never seen before in human history, a storm that all the meteorologists are saying came from ramped up conditions in three different places that we've never seen before, plus the moon that we have seen before. And yet, pick your news source. Some news sources will say this has nothing to do with climate change. So this is a conversation we're just refusing to have, the believers and the non-believers. And it gets more and more difficult rather than easier to have that conversation. Why is that? That's my question. I don't think there's one answer. I think there are a lot of answers, and this book invites you to answer the question for yourself.
Since this megastorm has occurred while you've been on this tour, has it changed the tone of your, you know, your readings and meeting with people and questions that are being asked at your stops in these cities?
Well, at the moment, it means I can't even get on a train to to go to my next stop. So it's definitely left its thumbprint on the tour. But yes, this is stuff that has been very urgent to me for a long time, because I was trained as a scientist, because I've been paying attention to things like shifted migration patterns for many different species, and because I live dead center in a farm region that has been hit with one record-breaking weather disturbance after another. It's very clear to me that there's nothing more important for us to be talking about right now, and it's very frustrating that the question, the issue has been virtually absent from the news. Suddenly, it's no longer absent.
Does it feel like a little bit of vindication that now people are talking about it?
This is the tragedy of all human existence. I don't mean Storm Sandy. I mean what we're doing to the climate. So, no, there's no vindication in it for me. I mean, it's a great sadness. I have kids who are going to have to grow up and deal with this mess. So it's an immense burden, frankly, to carry around knowledge that no one else, well, I won't say no one, but that many people choose to ignore. It's something like a death in the family, you know, that nobody wants to talk about. If you can come into a room where everybody's talking about it, it doesn't make you more sad. It somehow just makes you feel more connected.
Mm. I mean, obviously, writing this book is part of you dealing with this knowledge that you have, not everybody is, you know, ready to apparently deal with. But do you feel like there's anything else that you can do or that you want to do since you're carrying this with you all the time?
What I can do is write. What I can do is ask questions. That's my job, and that's what I do.
Just on a lighter note, I love in the very, very beginning of the novel, the main character is talking about how her car is parked in the only place where it won't, incite, I don't know.
Gossip,
yes.
Right, which is her own driveway, yeah.
Yeah, and that is, I mean, that is so true, and that is, you can only write that if you've lived in a small town.
Yeah, or if you know it really, really well, you have to know your milieu. If you don't, it really seems fake to the insiders. So I am an insider to Appalachian culture, and the body of this conversation that I'm invoking with this novel is very familiar to me, and I have enormous sympathy for the people in this novel, the working poor, the people who go to church and listen to Fox News and are very forthright, good people who are flummoxed by the outsiders who come in when, I don't know how far you've gotten, but there's a biological disaster that happens in this little town, and it brings outsiders. It brings the media. It brings scientists. A lot of people who feel like they know better than the locals. And I'm very sympathetic to that, to what that feels like, too.
Where does that leave you where, I'm sure on some levels you feel like you do know better than someone who's going to be blind or forcibly be blind to what's going on with climate change and the environment. But then also being part of that world as well and living in it, how do you balance that?
Well, I don't know better. The most important requirement of me as I entered this novel is that I do it with absolutely no condescension. I wanted to invoke every side of this argument or non-argument, non-conversation, with absolute sympathy. I'm not sure I could have done that when I was a younger writer, but as I get older, I become more sure that nobody is entirely right and nobody's entirely wrong. And the way we absorb information is not as rational as we think. I think that we absorb our truths from people we trust. And I think everybody does it on every side, and that's how the human mind works.
And that was Barbara Kingsolver. Tickets are available to her November 28th appearance in Asheville by buying her latest book, Flight Behavior, from Malprop's Bookstore Cafe. For WNCW, I'm Stina Sieg.